Well, how's everything on your end?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I was Avery's already on here, and I was getting ready to tell him we have this phrase that we use, or at least I use, when I don't feel like I got enough done in a day. You know, those days where it's the grind, it's just a little bit harder. It's a $10 day. $10 day, I feel like I owe everybody 10 bucks. So that's my day. Like at about, I don't know, 2:30 or something, I just looked at my wife and I said, I think I'm just gonna admit I'm worthless today.
We'll try to give the people their money's worth now,
Well, you probably have to just carry the load a little bit for me. But
huh?
well, I
We'll see.
said,
I don't know. It's Friday. We'll see.
well, that's why we do these things on Friday and why they're called a cocktail hour, right?
Smart, smart.
So, there may be a little something along with my beverage,
There's
right?
nothing wrong with that.
Start celebrating the Friday. So,
I love it. I love
but
it.
you're good though?
Yeah, everything's
Recently
good
in your
over here.
30s?
Yeah, like a week now. Feel old. No, I feel
You
good.
feel old. Don't say that to me.
It took a day. It took a day. Then I was like, oh, you know, I feel pretty good. So it's good.
It's just another day, right?
Yeah, it's just hot down here. I mean, last week it went up like 15 degrees from the previous week. So I think Monday was like 102, felt like 111. And I was like, where'd this come from?
Really?
Yeah, it just became summer all of a sudden. So.
Well, we're not trying to be shy about joining you because it's been in the high 90s and super humid. But yeah, we can't go three digits. So you still got us,
That's
but
nice.
so do you guys have everybody back in rooms now, or how's that process going for you guys?
So we're starting with football, pretty much like everybody else around the country. So they're back. They're doing all their testing to make sure everybody's healthy and safe now. Activities are supposed to start next week with them. And then our second phase, hopefully if football goes well, our second phase will start to kind of bring some of the fall sorts back. So we'll try to get volleyball back, the hoops teams back. And then if that all goes well, we can hopefully roll everybody else back. So we're looking at kind of 6 weeks, 6 week integration period for kind of our sports back on campus.
Gotcha. Yeah, for a lot, it seems like not only is every state different, but almost every institution
For
within
sure.
states are different. So, like, we're getting ready to go install some units with Alabama basketball, and we checked in like, how do you need us to do this? You know what I mean? But then, like, IU proactively sent something out like to everybody, and it was, if your staff. Your vendor, like all those things. And I was sort of like, all right, this is a new shell game for everybody, and we'll just have to figure it out as we go. So,
Yeah, I think the day everything shut down, we started building this model that we had no idea what it would look like, but we were just trying to kind of have the foresight to get ahead of it. Obviously, nobody has, but we've done a pretty good job of kind of trying to stay as prepared as we can.
well, it's sort of like, and for folks who are listening, like, you, myself, and Donnie chatted at one point and kind of caught up on this a little bit, but the only thing that everybody really knew was that athletes were going to be detrained in a way that they hadn't been detrained before. So that's a weird baseline
For
to
sure.
sort of try to set and then build off
For
of.
sure.
So are you going to be handling the same teams this coming year,
Yeah.
or?
Yeah, I'll be on the same team. So I'll oversee track and field, men's swimming, and women's golf. That's kind of the same group I've been rolling with for the past 3 years. I got down here in 16, and it was with track and men's swimming, and then added women's golf 2 years prior to that, or following that.
Gotcha. And so I did stalk your IG just so I can make sure to like ask you good decent questions, right?
I like it. I
But
like it. There's prep work.
I already knew this though, but like you ran track at Iowa State, right? But
I
what I
did,
don't
yep.
know is like what events did you run
I was short
specifically?
sprints, ones and twos, and then 400s when they made me.
When they made you.
When they made me. God, I only when
Gotcha.
they made me.
So why was it that way? What didn't you like about the 400?
I mean, anybody who's got a track background can kind of understand how that feeling. I really loved the one and the two and that four. I just didn't love the pain. And to run that race, you gotta love it.
Yeah,
You really
no,
gotta
I
love it.
hear you there. When so like for a while, we like, so first of all, I'm ancient, so I'm not sure that this is even that relevant of a story, but same thing for me in terms of like, we had to choose at one point track or baseball, and I went baseball, but as long as I could stay with track, I tried the 400 at one point, and it was the deal where pacing, bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was way out front by about two. And then I just crashed hard, like in the last 100. And it was, I might as well have just been, you know, going backwards, like just backpedaling the whole time.
I'll never forget the first day of track practice ever. I started running AAU in fourth grade. Came out to practice. I think the coaches were like a deacon at my church or something, saw me running around at Vacation Bible School. And he's like, "Hey, come out for the track." And I was like, "All right, cool. Sounds good." First day they had like four 400s. I have no idea what this means. I've never seen a track, never stepped on a track. I just knew, you know, I'm the fast kid in school. So, all right, we're going to run this first one. Just don't run at full speed. Telling a fourth grader, don't run full speed. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. And in my mind, you know, I'm that guy. I'm that fourth grader with all the juice, all the sauce, right?
Sure.
They say, all right, go. And I run as hard as I can, and I'm just gone. And I get to 200. I just stop, put my hands on my hips. I'm like, ah, it's not what I signed up for.
But it might have been a hell of a 200 time.
I'm cruising. Had all the sauce through 200. That's probably where my hate for the 400 started, right there.
The baseline had been set.
Oh, for sure.
So are you guys, as you guys are bringing athletes back, I meant to ask this a second ago, are you doing like masks in rooms? Are you spreading people out? Is there like a lot of little nuances to what you're doing as well?
Yeah. So right now, this is obviously fluid because we might not be back in a room like until August, July, August. So for us right now, we're kind of planning on a 12 feet apart distancing. Everybody will train in their own station. And then we'll have masks, but we're not sure what we're going to do with them training with masks yet. We're trying to get some outdoor spaces where hopefully we can spread out a little bit more to kind of mitigate some of the breathing and the respiratory aspect.
Sure.
We will, as coaches, have to wear masks for sure. But I mean, we've had medical staff, ATs, our doctors have been trying to work out in masks and trying to figure out if it's even possible. Right now, it's not looking like it is, but we'll see. But that's why we kind of up the distance on how far the athletes need to be from each other. So we're doing 12 feet, which is a little different than everybody else. So our room is pretty big, and I know we're not going to do more than 10 athletes at a time right now. So that obviously might change as rules start to relax, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now. But we're planning on everything being stationary, everybody staying in their spot, kind of bringing all your stuff to the station prior to cleaning, washing hands, all that stuff before. There's a lot of nuances. It's going to be weird for us. Because we're like, yeah, we got to socially distance, but oh, let me spot you real quick. So we need to figure out
right. The
nuances of what those things would look like. But we have a pretty good plan in place. But everything's fluid; like everything changes every week. So we're kind of just trying to stay with it as we go.
Well, it's definitely abnormal is probably too light of a word, but
right,
like just how you interact with athletes in the room, right? If particularly like for coaches that bring a lot of energy, like I just generically tend to be there's going to be some high fives thrown around, right? Yeah. Pats on the back, like take your pick of just those nonverbal communication pieces.
For sure.
But now everyone's going to have to sort of check themselves.
Yeah.
And if, like, I can't even necessarily get out of the house with a mask on every time. You know, I saw this thing, like, I feel like Batman. Or Spider-Man, I think, was the thing, right? You need to always have the mask, right?
Right.
So I'll take off to go do something and like, shoot, right back in to grab it because I forgot it. So,
right. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm one of the coaches. There's a bunch of coach types, I think archetypes. Like there's the coach who stands in the corner with his arms crossed. There's the guy who's kind of up on you yelling at you the whole time. I'm a walker. So I just cruise the room back and forth through all my sessions. So that's going to be a little difficult for me to get used to, but.
I used to call that the shark. I think you and I are wired the same way. Yeah,
the shark for sure. I like that.
Yeah, I'm around. I'm available. I'm watching.
Right.
but I'm definitely not going to stop moving. No question about that. So, so like, sort of speaking of archetypes, like obviously college athlete, you know, not tons of gray hair like me, right? So
I got a couple right here if you look real close.
I'll dial it in later. But do you feel that athlete in you still being a big part of like how you work with athletes, how you're thinking about things? Like I felt like there was a period of time where like I thought I was going to go down a coaching path, right? And sure. I could always feel like half the time I was thinking like an athlete, and I'd have to pull back and say, that's not your role now. You know sure. what I mean? Do you find any of that like is happening for you, or how's that transition been?
I'd say it's, this is what, my seventh year in college and my ninth year just in the field. I definitely still feel that, like the athlete side of me. And to be honest, like I would never have become a strength coach if it had not been for my strength coaches. So I want to make sure that if I can give that to somebody else, I want to keep that. I don't want to lose that part of myself. There's definitely, you pull back because you realize as a coach, like, hey, it doesn't matter what we do. It's not about us. It's about the athletes, right? So I want them to get the best experience they can. For different groups, it'll need different things from me. Some athletes want to compete, so the athletic side for me will have to come out. So like some of my sprinters and jumpers, hey, Clint, I bet I can pull this power clean faster than you on the elite form. Okay, cool. Give me a second real quick. Let me do some ace skips. Let me pull you and show you that. Right. I'm not that old yet. I still got a little juice.
I'm not going in cold, but.
Right, for sure. For like maybe my golf team, who just really started embracing the weight room 2 years ago, they don't need to see that for me, right? So for me, I'm just gonna love them up, and I'm gonna coach them up, and I don't need to show them how good of an athlete I am or used to be or anything like that. So I think it kind of comes out a little different for every team.
Sure. I get that. No, that makes tons of sense. I pinged you about this, before we got on, just to make sure it was cool to talk about. But mm-hmm. So are you also envisioning having to have conversations with athletes in terms of like what's going on with the rest of our apocalypse here in 2020,
right.
Like with right. George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, et cetera? Like, do you as a staff talk about how you want to address those things, or how do you guys deal with that?
I think something that's really cool that I've seen here, and this is the third university I've worked at, and I don't know if this would have happened everywhere else. I'm for sure it wouldn't have happened everywhere else. I've had conversations over the past 2 weeks with essentially every staff that I work with, sport team, just staff, actual athletes as well, and then actually just department-wide. So I think it's really cool, the culture we have here where we are. If we don't know, we're trying to listen and trying to learn from others and learn from different experiences. I had a talk yesterday with one of our programs, and we had speakers who were in the community, speakers who are in the department, in the academic department that our athletes may never talk to and come on and just share their experiences. So for us, it's been really cool because we've been able to have like really open dialogue. And I've been asked a ton of questions by my athletes. And on the Olympic side, we don't have a ton of Black representation. On the track team, obviously quite a bit, but outside of that, we don't have a ton of representation on just the Olympic side. Obviously football and basketball is a little different. So for our athletes, it's been really cool for them to kind of do a deep dive in something they haven't really had to wonder about, because we are really inclusive already. So like, why talk about these things when you're already really inclusive? But we've been able to say, hey, this is kind of why these things matter, and how they can affect you and how you can affect them, right? How you can affect change. So we've actually had a ton of those conversations the past couple of weeks, which has been, it's been pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I was saying to my wife, in a weird way, because she's been working with her company, right, in terms of like, just being reflective, right? Kind of going forward, trying to do the right thing and be progressive. And my comment to her at one point was, I almost feel like we get to cheat. Like, we already work in a more diverse environment. And maybe cheat's not the right way to put it, but like things are already sort of whittled down in a way where you can have those conversations more easily. And then it probably gives us all a bit of a nice stepping stone to do more, because we're already a bit closer than I think, like outside looking in, people get it, but they don't get it. It's kind of the way I feel about athletics in a great degree. I bet you and I could just sit here and rattle off tons of diversity, right?
For sure.
That we see every day. And when when you whittle it down to like having your teammates back, things get pretty easy pretty quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
In many ways, right? And it helps just kind of shed some of the veneer, right, of the rest of – veneer's not a great word, but what is going on elsewhere. So are you yourself being kind of active, like, in terms of, like, outside of the university?
Yeah, for sure. I've actually – the amount of coaches – surprisingly coaches. I've had a lot of like friends reach out and just ask like what they can do better, how they can help, different things like that. But really the amount of coaches from other schools that have reached out to me has been pretty incredible. And we've That's had a cool. ton of dialogue. But I mean, I can sell it to a coach as this, right? So you get athlete in, he might not buy into whatever you're doing right away. But you know, you have to same thing. You have to build that relationship because nobody's obligated to give you their story. Right. So that happens with athletes. And I think it's kind of similar in this case. But for me, I've been really active because I do feel obligated because I feel confident and competent enough in the way I can vocalize and express my feelings and my kind of past experiences that I feel like I am obligated for those who maybe aren't as confident giving some of those stories. Because how else do you learn unless you can hear from somebody else's experiences? So I think I've been pretty active on that aspect.
Nice. Nice. Are you hearing... like you mentioned, coaches reaching out, asking you questions, like, is there a common thread in that? Like kind of a common few questions, or is it kind of all over the place?
It's kind of all over the place. If there's a theme, it'd be, like, obviously I don't want to generalize, but they say, hey, what do you think like sure. my black athletes might be struggling with that I wouldn't understand? So that's kind of, I'm saying, hey, it doesn't matter if they're an athlete or not. I think a lot of black people are feeling very similar feelings right now. So I said, this is some of the common things you might see, some things you might be able to help. But then realizing also, hey, there's a lot of people hurting. It's not just the black athletes. Like everybody's hurting right now. A lot of people are hurting. So I reach out to everybody. That's been the pretty cool thing I've been able to see with a lot of different staff.
Yeah, yeah. I put something up. I don't know if you follow the Players Tribune at all.
I don't.
Some pretty good articles in remember Cameron Butler, NBA player. Mm-hmm. I think he went to UConn. He had an article that hit home for me, and he led off with saying, it's a we thing. And for whatever reason, you know how you sometimes you just don't know what's going to grab you emotionally until it does?
Right.
That one popped me, like, pretty hard. And I was like, well, I guess it's just been sort of my thing for the last couple of weeks, right? Trying to push forward. And it reminds, like, it when you said it's not just athletes, right? It's not just the black community, right? Everybody's hurting. Like, we all sort of have this, there's this, I think this concentric circles, right? There's the folks we know, and then there's the folks that they know. And if we can have those conversations like you're talking about, and expand those experiences, we start expanding those concentric circles and everybody starts to sort of get linked a little bit better, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And so it really just comes down, I think, to just starting to get comfortable for having sure. those uncomfortable conversations. That was, for,
yeah,
that was another point. I think I said Cameron, but it's Karan, right?
Yeah.
That he made, in terms of just go for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just start talking. But yeah.
And start in your circles where you are a little bit more comfortable, right? Because that's where you can really make change. So
right, right. Oh, for sure. But and that does kind of circle back on where I feel like Elite Form's already lucky. Like, we were already going to have a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And before COVID, like, we were hoping to be you, me, and Donnie, right?
Yeah.
And we could all just in person, like, have the same kind of quality conversation. IG Live just doesn't lend itself to three people, right? So
sure.
You get long pauses and then people talking over each other, and then everybody said something interesting, and so you're trying to sort of backdoor it from there. So
right.
So, like, in terms of kind of some of those uncomfortable conversations, are you also kind of thinking about, And this is a somewhat selfish question, I suppose, but do you think about it in terms of, like, companies that you're working with, or you personally, like, who you're supporting, Are you going that deep with it? And do you think that's like a good approach in terms of sort of voting with your dollar?
I feel that I actually heard one of my coaches said it really well the other day. It wasn't even a quote about what's going on now, but it landed really well. Like, there's a bunch of different scopes, right? Like, you may be the super vocal, let me go protest. You may be the, hey, I'm going to sign every petition I can find. You may be the person who just wants to donate some money and wants to keep their face out of it. Like, you may be the person who just wants to have one conversation once a week when you hear something pop up, right? I think whatever lane you want to be in, that's fine. Like, you don't need to be in all of them. Like, you don't need to be a jack of all trades, but we need all of those lanes to make any kind of change happen, right? So I think whatever your lane is, like, jump in it, enjoy it, and run with it, because that's how we all make change.
Yeah, jump in it and keep the momentum going.
For
Like
sure.
just kind of whatever. It's almost like make yourself uncomfortable, but don't go so far that you're gonna stop.
For sure. That's the
Kind
thing is,
of
like,
to your point, right?
I heard somebody say it the other day, like, it can't be a moment. It has to be a movement. Like, the movement's got to continue. It can't just be a moment right now. So that's definitely what we're trying to do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, pro cyclist Eric Marcotte yesterday. And we ended up in this long conversation, and it started with nutrition. And we were talking about how I think he brought up like a Snickers bar, right? And so you can hit that Snickers bar, and you get this really like you get the sugar, right? And so you get this you can call it juice, but it doesn't really do much for you, right? Yeah, and it doesn't sustain. You know what I mean? And there's that way of eating, and people then are constantly trying to get more, right? Or you can do it the right way, make it sustainable, and suddenly you realize you've got this sustained juice, right? And so suddenly we found ourselves sort of morphing this nutrition conversation into the protests are juice, they're heavy emotionally, they're sort of this heavy hitting thing. And it's sort of very loosely, right? The Snickers bar, right? And we've then got to get to that daily movement, pushing forward. That is probably the world's worst analogy, but
No, I
like
get
the
exactly what you're saying,
nutrition
yeah.
is, right? Yeah.
For sure, because
So.
it's I've heard a couple people say, like, it's Groundhog's Day right now. Like, we've had protests before. Like, we've seen this before, right? And
Yeah.
we're not saying we're not in a better place than we were back then, but we're still a long way from where we need to go. So are we going to have protests, and then next week when we get back to athletics, everything's just back to normal? Or are we going to make sure that, hey, this kind of momentum, we just kind of ride this wave and keep it going and keep working for progress?
No, absolutely. Did you I don't know if you ever watch John Oliver, but
Not
he
really.
did a segment and it was mainly about it kind of started in terms of like the history of systemic racism, but actually one of the points that he brought up was and I'm struggling to remember the name of the gentleman that said it, but basically it was like he had this 10-year timeline of events that had happened, people had protest, you know, like one of was the burning of Black Wall Street, right? There was all these various things. And then all of the reactions and suggestions about how people should go forward were always the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
It's a band-aid.
yeah, and it just showed we never really got to the work in my mind, right? And so like this, it just needs to be different now. Like, let's get to the actual work, you
It's
know?
interesting. So my parents are from Alabama. So my dad lived 45 minutes from the Selma marches, and I called them last week, and I was like, hey, how different? He was young, obviously, then, but I was like, how different is this compared to that? He's like, it's really good. It's got a lot of momentum. It's really big. It's not as big as that was. And I'm like, this is the biggest thing I've seen when it comes to civil rights activism in my lifetime. And he's 65 years old, right? And it's not the
Right.
biggest thing he's ever seen. The biggest thing he saw was when he was 3 or 4 years old. I'm like, we're 60 years past that, and this is big, but it's not as big as that, and we're still 60 years removed from that, and we're not where we want to be. So I'm like, we have a long way to go for sure.
Right. Oh, for sure. Well, and then that's an interesting timeline to think about because like we can, just because of social media, right? We can see things going on worldwide that, you know, he wouldn't have been able to see it then. And then the world
right.
really sure. wouldn't have had access to it either. Like it mm-hmm. goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
So like in some ways, I saw something that said in terms of a civil rights movement, like this is the biggest one the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there is something heartening about, you know, next thing you know, you're seeing like protests in Belgium, right? Or Australia.
Right. For sure.
So
yeah.
Yesterday I was Skyping with Chris Caviglia, who's with the Queensland Academy of Sport in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And he was asking about it and he brought it up. And so, boy, if there's an opportunity to carry a conversation forward.
For sure.
Like for we've got sure. the tools, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now it is good to start hearing the conversations that like long overdue finally be had. So I'm hopeful that some real change will come from all this.
Yeah, kind of cautiously optimistic.
Yeah,
is that
for sure?
Would that be
I'd
fair?
Say that's fair. My gotcha. Guy John Jones just joined in.
I was waiting to see if he was going to say something. Any questions for Clint? Give him a chance. Yeah, one of the things that, like we were talking about different perspectives, I grew up in Indiana, and Indiana does not have the greatest history, right?
Sure.
Because it was basically in like in the 40s, the center of the Ku Klux Klan, and I think it was 30% of all adult white males were a part of the Klan.
Man.
And like that's basically one generation, maybe a generation and a half, because generations aren't really measurable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like away from where I was. But then when you're growing up, like I was just this dumb moron, naive kid, right? And I didn't realize until I got out in the world and then would think back on things that had gone on, I realized how deep it really went and how it carried over generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things. I was a little disappointed I didn't somehow catch on. Though I don't know how that would have happened.
Right.
And then it's become like always like a touch point, like a sore point, you know what I mean? Because then I think on the flight or fight, right? I tend to be more on the fight side.
Sure.
So that's not always been the best thing. But just wanting the idea of 30%, right, in the '40s. Is just another one of those things that just shows there's so much to work on.
It's not that long ago.
No, not at all.
No.
Like not at all. So, annoying as hell, but, had tough days, but hopefully positives to come. So
hopefully.
Yeah. Let's just make it happen.
Yeah.
Instead of saying hopefully, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
It's gonna
take more than you and me.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, our 1 hour Instagram live's not gonna like solve the world's problems.
I don't think that's gonna be it.
We'll get rid of COVID and systemic racism in 60 minutes, and it'll be great.
If we didn't, do our job, right?
Well, if we had that ability and didn't do it, then we really didn't do our job.
Like Thanos, just snap your fingers, make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Jonesy, what's going on? We're just talking. Like there's no script. We're just hanging out. So, game to throw out anything you want, Clint's away. So in terms of, obviously you're still fit yourself. So do you have like a program that you follow? Are you doing more of the, like just whatever feels good that day?
No, I follow a program right now. It's NFL offseason, so I train a couple NFL guys. So I'm trying to make sure I stay in shape with them so I can work them out. So I follow one of their programs right now just to make sure I'm still able to go when I need to. And then as soon as they go off to NFL camp, I can go just
are you gonna back it off a little?
Yeah, I'll back it off, just do some volume, get sexy for the beach, you know.
You do seem to like the beach. That's come up several times.
I like the beach, man. I do. What's up,
is that,
man?
Is does that stem from anything in particular, or?
No, actually, I don't. It didn't even happen. So I'm from Iowa, right? So flat, no water, none of that. I didn't
You
start
grew up in
traveling.
Iowa?
I grew up in Iowa, yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't
Where in
start
Iowa?
traveling. Central Iowa, so about 20 minutes north of Des Moines. It's like a small
Okay.
town called Boone. Yeah, I need to go to Barbados. You're right, Jay Jones. It's on my list. But I didn't start traveling until, like, really traveling until 2016. And that's when I really start talking about differences of opinion and being kind of stuck in a box. Like, until you kind of get out of your own space, you don't realize how diverse and how big the world really is. So I started traveling, and I got hit with the bug, and I think I went to
Amen to that.
4 or 5 countries last year. So whenever I get a chance to get away, I do. So it's been rough for me during COVID. Obviously, plenty of things going on in COVID that have been not great. But I was planning on being, obviously, Olympics this summer, so I was planning on being over in Japan and all the stops before that. So I was expecting a lot of traveling this year. I got cut short. That's okay. Obviously, bigger things going on. We'll get to it next year. But
so what you said you went to 5 countries this last year?
I think it was 4 or 5.
Where'd you hit?
I went to Singapore, Malaysia. Where else did I go? I went to Dominican. I went to the Bahamas. So 4.
Some island nations in there.
Yeah,
some
a couple
nice,
of them.
Nice beachfront.
A couple of them.
So, obviously, Barbados has been mentioned. Any place else you're what else is on your short list?
Barbados is on my short list for sure. I want to do Bali at some point. I really want to do, like, Switzerland, Norway, kind of that area over there, like Lausanne or something like that. So maybe I can get over there for a Diamond League next year or something like that. But those are probably my 3 big ones that I want to get to.
So have you always tied your traveling to, like, events you've been going to so far?
For the most part, Dominican was just completely random. I just planned a trip one day with my girlfriend and we decided to go. Bahamas was last year with the golf team. Singapore was, I do some consulting overseas. Work with some athletes over there. So I try to make it work. If I can make it work for work, that's great. If not,
sure.
I'll just go. Then domestically, like, I love Lake Tahoe. I'd go to Lake Tahoe every day if I could.
Oh, nice.
I used to
nice.
Work
I used
in Nevada,
to live in-
so I was 45 minutes
oh,
away.
That's right. I remember reading that. Yeah. I used to live in California, and then we would hit, like, Tahoe on the weekends, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
it's amazing.
Kirkwood was always the place that we would go because it was just off of the beaten path enough
sure
that it had all the terrain and everything that you wanted without quite as many crowds.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet, but you didn't actually see the lake. That was the only down.
Go to Incline. If you want to see the lake, go to Incline. That's the way to go.
I've heard that. It's a good,
it's not crowded. It's, a good it's not crowded over there. That's good.
Nice. And then the first time I was out there, my wife and I actually went to Reno on our honeymoon and then went to, like, Mount Rose and hit that.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, that's right where kind of right where I lived, right over there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. The biggest little city in the world.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So you want to hit some of the Scandinavian countries though, huh?
Yeah. You know, I figure, and I guess Iceland's in there too. Definitely don't want to do Iceland. They're pretty.
That's just it's another island nation, right?
Yeah, I need to.
Maybe not quite as warm as.
Yeah, I'll definitely choose my time of year for that one a little
bit. Choose your seat. Well, if it's 110 there, not that you can get away right now, but.
That's fair.
Maybe that's the time to take a week in Iceland. So look up the Lofoten Islands.
Lofoten?
So that is, it's an archipelago in Norway. And it's one of those things you'll probably recognize some of the locations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of my spot that I would like to get to. But there's zero reason elite form would ever take me there.
Got you.
Like, you know what I mean? So kind of like you were saying, been a lot of cool places. And a lot of it has been, I've been lucky enough, right, that the job allows that to happen. So have you been to Australia?
I have not yet. I was actually planning on going after the Olympics this year, so definitely
got to get you down there. Got to get you down there. Plus, New Zealand seems to have gotten rid of COVID-19, so
safest place in the world.
They're sort of they're teed up, right? And another tiny island nation. So maybe it's I shouldn't perfect. Say tiny. Probably don't like
I heard
that,
they got good beaches.
I've seen some amazing stuff, but I've never made the trip. I've only been to Australia. So, but yeah, if you like the beach, we've got to get you to Australia.
Yeah. That sounds like a good plan too.
Is there any fear of sharks? Like, are you a get in the water guy? Or are you staying?
I'll get in the water, but if I see a shark, you'll see my track athlete come back. I'll be gone. Like, if I see a shark, it's ass and elbows. That's it.
Well, Chris Caviglio just jumped on. He said, come have a visit. He's in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it trains a diverse number of athletes. So maybe there's some professional improvement.
Yeah, maybe we'll cross
we can sort of, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, see if we can make it happen. So, yeah, exactly. Like back to training, folks. Like, obviously, you guys have access to our system, but it's been a little while. I don't remember talking about this when we talked before. But what other technologies are you guys using now? Like, kind of with your athletes.
It's a little diverse. I think every coach is a little bit different. I kind of call technology and recovery at UT kind of like a buffet. So whatever it is that you like, you can get your hands on. For me specifically, I use obviously Elite Form religiously. That's not even a plug. He's not paying me to say that. I love Elite Form. It's been great.
Appreciate it. We have a no spiel rule with both these and the podcast. Like, we don't want to be those guys. So yeah,
I don't.
Thanks for the qualifier.
I tell everybody I love it. That's what I do all my programming on. I haven't used Excel in years. I don't know why I would. So I use Elite Form extensively. Also use the DARI system, the 3D movement screening. We also do force plates, force decks is who we use. And then we have ISO mid thigh pull based off that. And then we also use the Nord board, or specifically what I use.
Gotcha. What other, I guess, buffet to try to steal from you? Like, what other things would you have access to that maybe if you were over a different sport or had it more of a need for it, like, what else do you have access to?
I think the big thing here that's utilized would be the GPS tracking. So obviously they do it, like soccer and football do a ton with GPS, and I think that gives you really, really good data, especially when it comes to managing load, specifically probably for football and soccer athletes, those field athletes. I wish my ADs were on here to hear this. I wish we could
well, it's gonna go up on YouTube later, so if you need to point a link, we've got your back.
I wish we could load the other 10 racks in our weight room with Elite Form, working on that.
I think a little bit more
to figure out what's going on, like, during sport. So like, I know there's the Athos pants, different things like that. Like, that's something that I think could be really beneficial for us. And we're kind of limited on that. We've touched on it a little bit, but we haven't dove into it yet. And that's because we got a whole bunch of stuff in the last couple of years and we're not going to get everything. But I think that's, if I could go somewhere else, that's probably where I'd go.
Gotcha. Well, it gets kind of tough, I think. Like, with any tech, there's like, you can get a demo of it, right? And you can try it out a little bit.
Right.
But I don't feel like, and I would say our stuff's the same way, like, until you use it for a more extended period of time.
For sure.
Like, the value, it's hard to get the value out of it.
Yeah.
And understand, basically, it's worth what you paid for, I mean, for lack
sure.
of a better term. So, like, I've always, I can't remember when we first installed some units with you guys and Donnie, but it was a while ago. It's got to be like 6 years ago.
I think it was 13 or 14.
That makes sense. But it was obvious that, like, the smorgasbord or buffet was a good way to describe it. Like, there were definitely some things around, and then if it made sense for what you wanted to do, mm-hmm. it was available to you. And initially at the time I was like, seems like they have a lot of random stuff. Like, I saw it as random. And then it really wasn't until, like, chatting with you guys, you know, reasonably consistently, right? And then, you know, you can just see online how people are doing work, that kind of thing. that I started to realize, oh, the value here is that I can pick item X out of this list and apply it right when I need to. But yeah, I was low on the go on that one. I didn't quite catch on at first. But.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, obviously, like sports science and gathering data is so new in the U.S. Like it just hasn't been happening here for very long. So I think we're well behind the curve on that. Like when we had 1080 when I first got here, and we had awesome sports scientists, and we were working through everything, and I just ran on it every chance I got to just get numbers to see what the hell we were looking at, right? And I think we've done that with everything. We've kind of immersed everybody, kind of immersed themselves in something different, a different piece of tech. I'd say everybody's pretty versed in something different on our staff, which is pretty cool. But you kind of immerse yourself in something, and then you really learn, like, hey, this data is valuable for X or Y, or it really doesn't matter for my population, but you don't know until you get into it, right? So,
yeah. And then is that sort of created, like, you have this staff who are almost individual experts on like tech X. And then that way, if you start using it, yeah. I mean, we always try to make ourselves available, right? But then like I could easily envision a case where say someone's new to your staff and they have a quick question about like our stuff, instead of emailing our crew, I could just see them looking over and hey Clint, whatever the item is, like, how do I change the load on this? And is that kind of, has that been intentional, like in terms of like how Donnie maybe handles the staff, or did it just, was it just sort of, it just happened and fell into place?
I think it happened it was pretty organic, to be honest, because we had a sports scientist when I got here, and then he left to start another program. So we just didn't have anybody to look over all this tech that we had. And I still
sleeves got rolled up.
I still had Elite for him. I was like, I know this is good. I know it was great. So let me just dive into it a little bit more. So actually, like not having like having a sports scientist and then having a gap where we didn't, I was able to just kind of dive in and just really learn a lot of the tech, which is really beneficial for me. It kind of just happened. And then obviously we got another sports scientist. Now we have Travis Valantes. He's awesome. But now we can have conversations rather than, hey, I don't really know what to do. Can you go do the number thing with the whatever? But now we can have like real conversations and really make change, which has been really cool. So I have great conversations with him. I still talk to our old sports scientist, Chris Morris, who's actually on the call. He jumped on a little bit ago. He's at Kentucky now. But we can actually have those conversations about what the data means. And then for me, it's a little easier now because obviously I understand what's going on, where I can have the conversation with coaches, because at the end of the day, like that's where you're really going to make the change.
Well, very true. I mean, that's a good point. Like, A, like when it becomes contextual for you, right? Instead of just someone directed me on how to do this,
for sure,
you're able to bridge that gap. But then the biggest, maybe gap's not even the right word, but the biggest piece that we often see is just getting the buy-in from the sport coach.
For sure.
Right? On whatever it is you're trying to implement. And that, I think that may be everybody's sort of, I don't know if end goal is the right way to put it, but there's a hill to climb, right?
With that, for sure. That's what we strive for.
Getting that belief. Yeah.
It's great when it works out too. Like when you have a plan and everything should go well and everything based on the numbers, this is what should happen. And then when it does, it just validates you and you're like, oh, this is great. And if it goes wrong, you're just like, ah, we got to fight this battle another year. But I always tell my athletes and like recruits, whatever it may be, like I work with very objective sports, right? Track and swimming, super objective. Like, why would I not train them in very objective ways, right? So that's been really good for buy-in for the coaches and athletes.
That actually is a great point. And I don't know that I hear, I guess in my opinion, it discussed maybe enough. Like, there's a cascade of things that go into being a student athlete, right? And you're trying to gather almost as much information as you can about nearly all of those things. Right. And so that's why we have wellness questionnaires to try to figure out the subjective stuff, trying to measure sleep, et cetera. But then like literally like we were joking about the 400, right? Or the 200, like,
right,
having it on a stopwatch, Definitely allows you to quantify some things in a way that, to steal from something else you said, if you have a bunch of soccer guys running around a field, like there's some chaos, right, inside
right.
of what's happening on
For
a soccer
sure.
field, where GPS definitely helps, but at the same time, like you may not have needed to cover as much ground because the other team was always pushing the ball up the far side, like those kinds of things.
Sure.
So that's where like heat maps, while they tell you something without context,
right?
They don't really tell you everything you might think at a glance.
For sure.
So that's one reason I do like the fact that like we're also trying to measure something that's relatively finite. And, you know, obviously you can, if your form's not right, like you don't pop your hips. Right on a clean, it's going to impact like your metrics, but
right.
yeah, having something object very directly objective to look at definitely has a value.
For sure, it's great because I mean, how many 140 kilo squats have you seen? A million of them, right? But they're all like there's a box from really, really good 140 kilo squats to really, really poor 140 kilo squats, like they weren't all created equal. So for us,
right.
it's nice to be able to objectify and say, hey, this is where we need to be. For me, I'm super fluid with my training, specifically with like those two teams, as you have to be, cause they do so much volume outside or in the pool. So I'm very, very I'm very fluid with what we do in the weight room. So I can come in, I can have a kid start on his warm up set, look at his power on his warm up set. Hey, kid, you're not ready to go today. Then I can just know, hey, we might need to switch some things up, or hey, you're not as tired as I thought you'd be. Let's push it, right? So, but for us, it takes the guesswork out. Like, yeah, you can see the bars moving a little bit faster, but how much? So for me, it's really easy for me, especially kids I've been working with for 3-4 years. Like, I know what you got. So when I see what you're giving me, like, hey, I'm ready to go up or down depending on. So it's really nice for me.
Yeah, I would. So do you find, like, would you almost say that you're almost auto-regulating? Like
I
on a daily
everything.
Basis.
Daily basis.
Gotcha.
Daily basis.
Gotcha.
Like obviously I know where we want to be, but I'm super auto-regulatory. So I mean on our sprint days, for our sprinters, like the days that they run fast are also the days where we're gonna lift. So I know, and we lift always before we sprint, and there's a 4 to 5 hour gap between to make sure that we're getting quality sessions both places. But for our coaches, they'll gauge everything that they're gonna do at practice based on what they see in the weight room. Right. If they come in and the kids have a really good morning in the weight room, like we're ready to go. Maybe this kid's hamstrings are a little bit sore. Maybe you're not ready to sprint. We need to back you down. Or this person's not doing really well through their ankles today. Maybe we'll lessen your plyos. But we'll use everything. We'll auto-regulate on the spot right then and there.
And how are you guys managing the communication piece between like what you've had happen in the weight room, right? And then out on the track, what someone's going to do then?
The great thing for me is that I have coaches who understand that it's all got to go together, right? It's not about the track. It's not about the weight room. It's not about the training room. It's about the whole thing. It's not about what they ate. It's not about their sleep. It's about the whole piece, right? So we have daily discussions. My trainers are the same way. My track coaches are always in the weight room. I'm always at the track. Like it is 100 degrees out here at night, so I get to the track as much as possible. We don't have windows in the weight room, right? So I got to get out and get some sun. So it's a give and take, and we're all a part of every decision. Like we sit down with the entire performance team, coaches included, at least once a week. And we can have those conversations so everybody knows what's going on in every different facet. And there's no silos. So it's been that's the only way it can work, though. Otherwise, you get gaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so like a lot of that is, if I heard you correctly, it's face to face. You're
yeah,
not like
for sure
kicking somebody a report being nice. So you'll just, if there's some contextual element you feel like you need to add, you're just able to just chat it out.
For sure. We just chatted out like the amount of times I pick up my phone and say, hey coach, this is what I'm seeing. And he's out at the track or whatever else. Doesn't matter who it is. Any of our event coaches or distance coach, even like, hey, what'd you see? What they do today? Long run, blah, blah, blah. And they all send me their workouts on Sunday. So I'll do all my programming the week of based on what they send me on Sundays. I just do weekly training. I build all my stuff on Sundays. But we'll just pick up the phone and we'll have a conversation and we'll modify based on that.
Nice. Very nice. So is there any, so what do you think is next for sort of our little space in the world here? Like, is there, where do you think, like, so when I'm really old and gray, right, and we do this again in like 10 years, and you've been to Barbados and the Lofoten Islands, right?
No question, no doubt.
Like, where do you think athletic performance and S&C will be? What do you think we'll be doing?
It's interesting because I feel like it's always a cycle. Like, things that are old just get reinvented in a different way, because obviously you can look back at what we used to do, and it used to all be about tempos, and then everybody tried to figure out, oh, what can we do with this technology piece? And then, oh, triphasic. You guys have never heard of triphasic before. I'm like, people have been doing tempos forever, but it just gets reinvented in something different. And we figure out like how we can do things that we've done, how we can do them better, right? Because I think Cal's system's great. He just took what had been done and made a system out of it. And it's a good system, but it's just a different way of doing things that we've already done, right? So I don't think anybody's inventing anything new. At least I haven't seen it. And if you have, you better let me know. Tell me on the DL. I haven't seen anything new yet that's like blown my mind. I think there's a bunch of great tools. I think technology might be a piece that really keeps flourishing, because there's so much that we don't understand. And I think the psychosocial piece, like really understanding how the brain can affect what's going on in the body, and can have effect with training and everything else, and talk about endocrine system and what's really going on in the blood and different things like that. Like, there's so much going on that we don't really understand, or we don't really have the time to take to train. So right now I think we're doing a good global level. When we dive a little deeper into the cellular level, I think there's going to be a lot more that we can do, but we still got a ways for that.
Well, there's always someplace else to go.
For sure.
One of the things you were saying is reminding me of, I don't know if you follow like Bob Alejo on Twitter or anything, but he made a comment like, if you tell me what you're doing now, I'll tell you what we used to call it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I felt like that was spot on. And like, I'm not shy. Like, we just built a better Tendo unit.
For sure.
Like, literally. Mm-hmm. That was the starting point. Measuring the exact same thing. Well, it's like, well, you and I were talking about Vershansky the other day, right?
Yeah.
And fall offsets. And I've heard that phrased 5 or 6 different ways. And I had to have your help to remember his name at the time. But there's knowing what we need to measure, and then there's how we measure it. And a lot of sports tech now is just how we're measuring things we already knew we needed to know or wanted to know. But I do think the cognitive side, maybe in 15 years, back to, I guess, the way I phrased that question, since the brain's the most complicated thing we know of in the universe,
it's so complex, and I love it. And we're learning new things, and we still don't know anything about it, right? So that's I think that's going to be a big piece for us. And I think Brett's doing a really good job. Bartholomew's doing a really good job starting to dive into that. So for those of you not following him, you should be. He's doing a really good job with a lot of that. But there's so many different avenues you can even go into just talking about what's going on in the brain and neurally. So it's a deep dive for sure. I'll be able to figure out in my lifetime.
Well, or many lifetimes, right?
Like, right, exactly.
Yeah. If you wanted to pick something that you could study where you knew you were never going to run out of anything, that would be the place to go into.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, absolutely. No question. Well, hey, man, I'm going to let you get to your weekend.
Appreciate
you going to do it? You got any plans? Beach?
I wish. No, I think I'm just I'm going to lay low this weekend. I'm just gonna enjoy a little bit of 100-degree weather and get a little sun. Try to get out of the house a little bit. Yeah. How about you?
Nothing wrong with that. Well, I get stir crazy pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I will definitely be getting out. So I'm a cyclist, right? You name it. Like, it's sometimes good for me to just get out and go like 3 hours, right? Fairly hard, and just come back totally exhausted. Yeah. You know, you're just going to hang out. Like, my whole family's here, like, which was totally like, we thought we were empty nesters, not to date myself too much. Right. But so my daughter had moved out. My son was off at college. And then my daughter actually moved back because it was more of a boyfriend thing. But then COVID-19, he's an athlete, that brought him back. And yeah. So we went from just my wife and my dog to everybody back, which I think my kids are awesome. So I love having them back. You know what I mean? But it is a bit different when I'm trying to figure out how to work at this island instead of going to the office.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And my wife already worked at home. So she's like just to my right or just to my left, depending on where she's set up.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I just need to get away. So I think that'll be my weekend. I'll just be out in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. It's kind of my own version of therapy, I suppose.
That's all right. That's all right. Have a couple more drinks and it'll be good.
Well, yeah, you know, nothing wrong with that. So, thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you
this.
Having me. Yeah, thank you.
And let's get rid of COVID-19 so you, me, and Donnie and I we can go super deep dive on whatever we want in person.
You name it. Let's do it.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Take care.
Awesome. Yeah. Take care, man.
See you.